I asked Peter to pray for me before I preach this morning, so thank you, Peter.
Join me as I pray for Pastor Jeff. God, I thank you so much for Pastor Jeff. God, I thank you for the words that you've given him, for the heart that you've given him to shepherd us, God, to be so intentional. And God, today as he talks about love, God, I can't think of anyone better to talk about it. God, and I just pray that as he communicates what he's learned about your love, God, that our ears would be so open, that our hearts would be open to hear new things about your love that we've never known or heard of before. God, that we would experience your love in a new way, just the way that we need to experience today. God, and I pray that if there's anything in our hearts, God, that is keeping us from hearing it, God, that you would break down those walls. God, and I pray that as the words come out of Jeff, that they would be straight from you, that they wouldn't be created by Jeff, but they would be totally inspired by you. So I thank you for him, and just pray as we listen, God, that you would just come so powerfully in this room. We love you, Lord. Thanks for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. Next, you're going to want to be here next week. We're starting our value series. We spent the better part of the year framing, reframing, and re-reframing the values of Living Christ Church to come in alignment with our vision statement, which is connecting people deeply to God and each other in a fun and safe environment. So we'll kick that off next week. But in order to kind of help us prep the way for next week, I really thought it was important to be reminded of God's love this morning. And I say this about almost every passage of Scripture, but Ephesians 3 is my favorite passage of Scripture. And so we're going to talk about Ephesians 3 today. And if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. We're actually going to be looking at verses 7 to 19. And if you don't have a Bible, we've provided one in front of you. It's page 1134 on most of them. 1134. But before we get there, I just kind of want to set the stage. This week, I picked Jordan, my oldest, up from soccer practice. He's on the middle school team, and I picked him up for practice. And he said, "Dad, it's interesting. When a lot of my friends find out that you're a pastor, they ask if you wear a white robe when you get up to preach." Some of you are laughing because you saw this on Facebook. And I always tell him, no, he doesn't wear a white robe. He looks more like a lumberjack when he preaches. Apparently, I need to up my dress game. But I laughed, I cried a little when I heard that. But I was reminded of the fact that what is so amazing about having a relationship with God is you come as you are. There is no outfit that you have to put on, no makeup that you have to wear, nothing that you have to do to stand in the presence of the God of the universe. We can do all that stuff, and you can dress up because that's your desire, but it's not a requirement to know God. And I was just reminded of that this week as I was reading this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to look at four things in this section of Scripture this morning, four things. I have read this passage of Scripture, I can't even begin to tell you how many times. In my old Bible, before I lost it, misplaced it, it was almost worn thin. Because I believe that this is so important. Paul believed it was really important, and that's why he shared it. And I'm going to look at four things in this section of Scripture this morning. The first is being humbled by God's love. The second is freedom in God's love. The third thing is strengthened by God's love. And the last one is filled by God's love. I see these four things in this passage of Scripture. You might see more, that's fine. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, I find something new that I missed the first and seventh and 27th time around. These are the four things I see that really landed for me this week, and I just want to share them with you this morning. And before we do that, I just want to set up kind of what's going on here in this passage of Scripture. And so first, Paul is the author of this book. He is at the writing of this passage of Scripture. He's in prison in Rome because of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. He had shared the good news of Jesus all over the known Roman world and went back to Jerusalem kind of one last time to share the gospel, got rounded up, and was going to be killed because of sharing the gospel, and he pleaded to Rome because he was a Roman citizen to be heard. And he's in prison writing this letter. This is a letter to the church in Ephesus, but really this letter got spread throughout the known world at the time. And so it really isn't just a letter to the church in Ephesus, it's really a letter to the church. It's kind of the culmination of all the good nuggets that Paul has said over his lifetime preaching, condensed into six chapters. And he's sharing this to the church because he thinks it's important. He's crammed all these things in the six chapters in Romans because he thinks they're really, really important. And this one is smack dab in the middle. And he focuses heavily on the love of God, the love that we can receive from God. And so with that in mind, I want us to look at verses 7 and 9 first. And so if you have your Bible, pull that open. If you have an app, that's great too. Go to verse 7, and we're going to read the first 9 verses and then talk about them a little bit. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am the least, I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And this is what I see first off from Paul in this section of Scripture. First, he identifies himself as a servant, and this is really important. He is known throughout the Roman world because of his relationship with God, but he calls himself a certain servant. He doesn't put out flyers and say, hey, come see me in concert. He doesn't advertise himself to draw attention to himself. He says, I am a servant. I want to start there. Secondly, this is a gift that God has allowed me to share this good news. It's a gift. I'm not sharing this because I'm great. I'm sharing this because God has given me this gift to share it with you. Sharing this gift is the working of God's power. I would not be able to share it with you if it were not for the power of God. Because as Paul, I couldn't do it in myself. And I'm the least of all the Lord's people. And if you were around at the time, you would say, what, Paul, you're not the least. Like, you're the greatest preacher we've ever heard. Paul. And that's not how he chooses to identify himself. He chooses to identify himself as the least of all of God's people. Of all of God's people, I am the least. And yet his name is known throughout the whole Roman world. And it's really grace that God has given me to preach this. And I want to make plain to you the mystery that was kept hidden. And that mystery is that since Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered the world, there was a plan for our relationship with Jesus, with God, that was going to take place through Jesus Christ. Ages past did not know about him. Now we do. The mystery has been revealed, and the mystery's name is Jesus. He has made a way for us to be back in relationship with the God of the universe. When you understand God's love, it is humbling. When you receive God's love and comprehend it and allow it to fill you and consume you, it is humbling. It shouldn't do the opposite effect. Remember a number of years ago, I was watching 60 Minutes or one of those programs, and they were interviewing a pastor of a church of over like 20,000 people. And they were interviewing different people from the church, talking about how amazing the church was, how amazing the pastor was, all the things that the church was doing, and they were doing amazing things. They were feeding starving people. They were helping poverty. They were doing things all over the world. And then they asked, the commentator said to the pastor, "Say, man, you guys are doing really well for yourselves." And the response of the pastor was, yeah, if church attendance was like voting, I would be winning in the polls. And I just remember sitting there going, oh no. No, 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 no. Go back and listen to every single person that just talked about what's happening in your church. That is the most important thing. Not you winning in the polls of church attendance. And I sat there in my living room and I prayed for him. And 9 months later it came out that he was having an affair and he was removed from ministry. Pride has no place in the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. When you understand that God loves you and has empowered you and equipped you for works of service, the response is, I humbly submit to you, God, use me. It becomes less about you and more about him. And so Paul, before he talks any more about God's love, he wants to say to the church in Ephesus, I don't know what you've heard about me, but I want this to be abundantly clear. I am the least of God's chosen people. I'm the least. In verse 10, it says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering, for which is your glory. It's your glory. And I see this. I see three things in this section about that I'm titling Freedom in God. The first of which is this, that through the church, good and bad spirits are subject to those who call themselves followers of Christ. What is that? The rulers and authorities? This is for the rulers and authorities? Why are you saying the rulers and authorities of the spirit realm? This is what this was all about. What he's saying here is, because of Christ Jesus, because of your relationship with him, it is a testament to the rulers and authorities of the spirit world. So that the enemy of your soul is no longer in control, Jesus is. And now because of your relationship with Jesus, you have the ability to tell the enemy of your soul, you have no authority over me any longer. We get to do this in our healing prayer sessions here at Living Christ Church. The angels rejoice because of your relationship with God, and the enemy of your soul cowers in fear because of your relationship with God in the universe. That is freedom. That is freedom. You may approach God with freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence. And this word freedom here really is like, the connotation is freedom of speech. That you have the open communication. So just think about that for a second. You have the ability to have unlimited communication with the God who created you. How you're feeling, what's going on in your life, so you can go to the God of the universe and bear your soul to him. There's freedom of speech. You get to go before him and say, God, you know what? Today sucks. Today is terrible. And you know what he doesn't do? I don't want to hear you right now. He says, come. You can approach me with freedom and confidence. Sit in that for a minute. Where else can you do this? Where in our world can you do this where you don't have to wait in line for something? The iPhone X or whatever they're calling it is going to come out. We have apps to recruit people to wait in line to get a phone. There is no waiting. You can boldly approach the throne of God and tell him what's going on in your life. And the awesome part is he knows and he's walking with you. And then Paul says, I don't want my suffering to be a discouragement to you. Up until this point in Paul's life, he has been flogged, beaten with a rod 3 times. He's been stoned and somehow survived. And he's been shipwrecked not once, not twice, but three times, and spent a day and a night at open sea. Now, if I'm Paul, I'm going, really, God, you love me? If you love me, why in the world did I get beat three times? Why in the world did I get stoned? Why did I have to spend a night and a day at sea? Why in the world are there earthquakes? Why in the world are there hurricanes? Why in the world did I lose my family member? In the midst of the storm, Creator God loves us and is walking with us. He doesn't leave us to deal with the storm on our own. He follows us right into it, and the whole time he is with us. And because of that, Paul can say, please don't be discouraged at everything that has happened in my life. I know Jesus, and I know that he loves me. And I want to land with this just to fill your soul. To wait 2 years to go see a play. But right now, at this moment, you can interact with the God of the universe. You can say amen to that, whoever. You have to wait 2 years to see a play. Now, granted, probably a really good one. But right now, at this moment, at this hour, you can interact with God. There's no line, there's no waiting. In the midst of whatever your circumstance is, he is present and he is with you. That's some good news. In verse 14, and this is all just a pref, this is just getting us to the nuggets that Paul wants to throw down for us. In verse 14, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And I feel like I have to break this down because I've read this little section over I don't know how many times. I just want to jump to 17 and we'll get to 17. But 17 doesn't make sense unless we understand 14 through 16. And the first is that Paul kneels before God. And you need to understand this because oftentimes in the church at the time, when people went to pray, everybody stood. Everybody stood. If we were going to have prayer time, everybody stood up. And Paul said, this is not like one of those times. This is me going into a private place, having a conversation with the God of the universe. And when I do that, I want to humbly submit to him because what I'm about to ask of him is of utmost importance. And I want to make sure that even my posture symbolizes that I'm worshiping him. And so that Paul gets down on his knees and says to the God of the universe, what I'm about to ask you, I beseech that you do this. I want you, Lord, to give to them what I'm asking you. And the awesome part is, he's God. And because of the title God, his riches and his glory surpass anything that this world has to offer. Anything that this world has to offer. There is no greater glory, there is no greater gift than the gifts that come from the Father who is God. And this is really, this is where we get to the precipice. That he may strengthen you with power. Because what you need is going to take his strength, not your own. And that strength and power there is the same strength and power that gives us the ability to call on God of the universe and ask him to do the miraculous. It's the same strength. And what's crazy is that strength kind of fights against the fallen nature that is man. And so he is praying to God, God, give them the strength to fight against their own stuff so that your Spirit can do what he wants to do. And it's all done through his Spirit, not our power. God's power, God's Spirit in our inner being, in our inner being. Sorry, I got a little excited and I jumped right through my notes, which is okay. It's all good. It's really important that we understand that what's about to be said has everything to do with Paul is asking the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to do in our innermost self. And our innermost self there is the context of the soul or our conscience. And when our soul or our conscience are not at rest, then our sin nature, our fallen nature, is going to fight against what the Spirit wants to give us. And I see this played out whenever I don't know if you've ever made fire before. I like making fire. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you're making fire. You have to set that fire up just right. Right? You need something to ignite it or to catch it immediately. And you need something a little bit bigger to kind of begin to take the root of that fire. And then you need some bigger logs to sustain it. But there's things that can come in the way of that. One of them is wind. If you've ever tried to light a match and then the wind blows, or you've ever tried to light wet wood on fire, it generally doesn't happen. What Paul is saying here is, your soul is important to God. And there's some things in our soul that will fight against what God wants you to comprehend and understand. I want to clear the way. So don't let the wind of what's going on in your soul, don't let the rain of life get in the way of what the Holy Spirit is about to do in your life. Let him take over, let him take control, and let him do what he wants to do. And this is what he wants to do, Paul says. And this is of utmost importance because it sets the stage for our lives. And in verses 17 through 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's it? That's what we want, Paul? Yes! Yes! Get your stuff of your soul out of the way so that the Holy Spirit can come in and tell you that you are loved by God. You are loved by God. Think about this for a second. Christ wants to dwell in your heart. Why would God want anything to do with me? He's chosen to dwell in your heart. Not only that, he wants to take root and establish his love in there. The rooting is just what it sounds like. Taking root. As the roots begin to take shape so that the tree can grow. And the establishment is that concept of a firm foundation so that the building will not crumble. Everything that has to take place in your life, the foundation is the love of God. Everything else comes off of there. How you live, how you breathe, how you interact with your neighbors comes off of that foundation that God loves you. And that's the stepping off point. And let me frame it for you, church in Ephesus. How wide? Wide enough to make a way for all people to be restored to God. Not the person at work that I don't like. No, that person too. And that person that cuts you off on the way to work. Or that bully in school. Whatever it is, God died for each and every single one of us. So wide enough to make a way for everybody to be able to call on him. That wide. How long? Long enough to last forever. His love is not going to fade off because you had an off day or because you didn't represent him today. It's not going to end, or he's not going to go, wow, you know what? I shouldn't have chosen him, or I shouldn't have chosen her. His love is never ending. It will not stop today. It will not stop tomorrow, or the day after that, 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 and you get the points. His love will never end. It's that long. It's as far as the east is from the west. How high? High enough to reach the heavens, seating you at the table of God of the universe. That high. The heaven that we cannot see with our earthly eyes. That high. Seated with God. How deep? Deep enough to cover each and every single sin. There is nothing that you have done nor that you will do that will be able to separate you from God if you have a relationship with Jesus. That's how big his love is. It cannot be contained. You cannot put parameters on it. It will never end. And if you get that, if you understand that, then we can have a conversation about what it means to be a Christian, Paul says. When I was a kid, I heard about a pastor who was invited to preach at a church. And he went and preached on God's love. And everybody was like, wow, we've never heard about God's love before. And the preacher whose church it was, he was like, I talk about God's love all the time. What are you talking about? He got invited back the next night to preach. He preached the exact same sermon. And there was more people, oh, it's so good, it's so good. The preacher invited him back. Hey, people want to come tomorrow. Come tomorrow. All right. This went on for 5 days. He preached the same sermon for 5 days. Why? Because it is important for you to understand that God loves you. It's important. That's why Paul put it smack dab in the middle of this book. Listen, I've told you some really good stuff. Everything that has happened because of Jesus. Now, before I go any further and I go into some other things, you need to understand this. Love of God is the root of everything that comes after. If we do not get this, everything else is really confusing and becomes about me again. It's rooted and established in the love of God. And just, you know, understand this, that not only do I want you to have that love, not only do I want the church in Ephesus to have that love, God, I want them to be full. I want them to be full of God's love. And the concept here is a ship ready to sail. Everybody is on board. All the stuff that's needed is there. The sailors are there. The mast is there. The sail is there. The rowers are there. The freight is there. Everything is there. And Paul has taken this word and said, yeah, that now is how it looks in your relationship with God. You have everything that you need now to sail. You have everything that you need now to go into the world because God. That's the answer. A couple of you remember a couple years ago, Taco Bell. Yeah. Some of you go, yes, Taco Bell. And some of you go, ooh, Taco Bell. But they had these commercials that said, I am full. Because you could spend a little amount of money and you could fill up your belly and you could go somewhere else and go, I'm not there. I need to spend a little more so I can feel full. But at Taco Bell, you can be full. Paul's talking to his Father God and saying, Lord, I don't want them to be like, to partially get it. I don't want them to partially kind of understand, Jesus loves you. I don't want that for them. I don't want some like cookie cutter little thing for them to understand. I want them to get it. I want your love to take root in them. And so church, hear me. This has been my prayer for you. I'm sitting in a prison cell. All this junk has happened to me. Out of anybody in the world, I could say, you know what? Life stinks. Life is terrible. It is rotten. But instead, he chooses his time to send out the message that the God of the universe cares about you. And he wants everyone to know it. Not only does he want them to know it, he wants them to know it. So it takes root and it is established in their soul. These are the two questions that I've asked myself this week. That I've asked myself, do you, Jeff, do you want to know that love? And my answer is, yeah, I want to know that love. There's days that I wake up, and if I read Ephesians 3, I would go, man, I was, today I'm not getting it. I need somebody to pray this prayer on my behalf. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've never experienced that kind of love before. We would love to pray for you. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and go, man, God, I don't want to leave here this morning without getting this one. And then, the next question is, okay, you get it. You understand what it means that the God of the universe loves you. Not just loves you, he loves you. How is that going to change your life? How will that change your life? That the God of the universe, who created all, loves you and wants a relationship with you. How does that change you? Can you go into work and be a jerk anymore? Can you get in your car and drive down the road and get angry at that person? We can. The answer is, yeah, we can. Very simply, we can. We can let that stuff just kind of throw us off and turn us into the people that God doesn't want us to be. Or we can take a moment and say, God, today, Monday morning, remind me that you love me. Remind me that you died for me. Remind me that everything in my life is rooted and established in the love of the Father. Now, help me live that out today. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, this is my prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth draws its name. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen the people here this morning with your power through your Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And I pray that they, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And for them to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is my prayer this morning, Lord. I ask that you would take it and you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand?